Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. I'm Jason. He's Michael.
Hello.
And he is Will.
Let me tell you 300 reasons I'm glad to be here.
Okay.
Number one.
Yep.
Oh, I left it at home. Sorry. Oh. I wrote it all down at work today, and then I forgot it. I'll get back to you on the 600th episode. Okay.
Well, then you'll need to do 300 more.
No, I won't do that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but we are all excited to celebrate the Florida Project's 300th episode spectacular.
Wait, did you say spectacular?
Yes, I did. And to help us celebrate, we have a couple of surprise special guests who arrived this afternoon. Yay. Now, I don't want to give it away, but you might say their wings and hooves are tired.
Who would say that?
Flew in this afternoon.
Who would say that? Who's they?
Yeah. Comedians from the 40s. If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, get some cool real world stuff, and even chat with us when you're bored at work, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. Each week on TFP Extra.
Extra.
We keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney related. So if you're a fan of the nonsense parts of the Florida Project, you'll love TFP Extra.
Extra.
In addition to TFP Extra, our Patreon saints get access to our ongoing Disney Classics series where we discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Patreons who contribute just $5 get the additional shows and an invite to the TFP Slack channel. There you can chat with us, participate in watch-alongs, and engage in fun, freewheeling discussions. It's like a nonstop episode of TFP Extra.
Extra.
Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of the Florida Project. In this, our 300th episode spectacular.
Michael, he said spectacular.
We are answering all of your burning questions. We got a lot of submissions, and it's like a supersized small topics episode. But first, we'll catch up on some news that dropped while we were on hiatus the last couple of weeks. All that and some very special friends this week on The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topics. All right, we have a lot of questions from listeners for today, so we are going to dive right into news, bypass small topics.
That is the smallest of small topics that were ever smalled.
It is.
Nice.
Luckily, we spent some time getting warmed up before the show.
Well, I'm bigging them next week.
Mm. Quantum.
Cromulent.
Walter Cronkite.
News. There's been much news out of Walt Disney World and Disneyland the last couple of weeks while we were on hiatus, so we'll catch up on some of it now. And we'll continue catching up on the more recent news next week discussing food and wine and Christmas time at Walt Disney World. But this week, here are five semi-recent news items to discuss. Number one, more Walt Disney World reopenings and returning services. So a lot has reopened since we last sat at this table.
It's been a long time since we sat here.
It's been a long road.
Mm. Getting from there to here.
It really wasn't that bad. It was about the same amount of road,
oh,
honestly.
Yeah.
Well, during the last couple of weeks while we were on vacation, there have been many reopenings and returns to Walt Disney World. The biggest one being that fireworks have returned to both the Magic Kingdom with Happily Ever After and at Epcot with an updated version of Epcot Forever.
Woohoo!
It makes me so happy. I don't mean to interrupt every bit of the news, but this is the best news of all the reopenings that have happened at Disney World.
Yeah.
Except for Disney itself.
Yeah.
Like now you're on vacation if you can see fireworks at the end of the day.
Yep.
And it's almost a year to the day since Disney World reopened back up.
Well, there we go. Exciting.
Casey's Corner and the Ice Cream Parlor have reopened, as well as the Magic Kingdom Flag Retreat on Main Street USA has returned.
Hmm. Excellent.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
The Flag Retreat?
Yeah, I've missed it every time.
That seems right up your alley.
I know, right?
There was one trip we went on where it was just, it was like we saw all the stuff on Main Street. And it was crazy. Like, it was a nice little nostalgia. We walked in, and the Dapper Dans were singing to us. And when we walked out, they were doing the flag retreat.
Winter Summerland Miniature Golf has reopened.
Oh, I was wondering if it was actually still closed actually the other day. That's funny.
Casey Jr. Splash and Soak Station.
I didn't ask about that.
Citrus Coast and Trails End have reopened as of this weekend as well.
Yes! Not Citrus Coast. I mean, Citrus Coast is good, but yeah. Okay.
It's now Mary Poppins inspired.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I've been gone for months.
That's the Mary Poppins attraction.
Oh.
Over at Epcot's Morocco Pavilion, the Tangerine Cafe and Restaurant Marrakesh have reopened, as well as the refurbished bathrooms.
Really? I'm honestly really feeling self-conscious about just interrupting so much, but I didn't think it was going to, the Tangerine or Marrakesh were going to open up anytime soon.
Well, you thought wrong, Will.
Wasn't that a thing? Like, they were like...
Yeah, people thought Morocco was closing for good.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was obviously not right. But I thought they were like going to redo those restaurants.
I think it was just that Disney now is now in charge.
Okay.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I feel like Morocco's like, we're out, man. Well,
I do apologize.
<That's> okay. and reopening this weekend is the Epcot monorail line, which has been closed since the shutdown in March of 2020.
That'll be so convenient.
And finally, another big one, Disney's Polynesian Village Resort will have reopened by the time you hear this, following a major refurbishment to the Great Ceremonial House and the Moana-inspired rooms. The new porte cochere will be ready and will receive guests arriving via Disney Magical Express and Valet. However, the monorail station has not yet reopened, but is expected to in August.
So, that's very exciting.
I think there was more stuff, but those were the highlights. A lot has reopened or has like kind of gone back to the way it was.
We're back, baby!
Disney has also announced that the Disney dining plan will indeed return, but a return date is yet to be announced. So people were worried that it wasn't going to come back at all once they canceled it.
Yeah.
Originally.
I'm less excited about that. But there's no reason for them not to do the dining plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like it.
People like it. They don't lose any money, I'm sure.
You gotta eat, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat like that, but you gotta eat.
Gotta eat.
Well, speaking of some more reopenings, number two, Disney's All-Star and Port Orleans resorts to reopen later this year. Two of Walt Disney World's most popular resorts have yet to receive reopening dates along with the others, but Disney has finally announced the reopening dates for the last four of these resorts. So there's Disney's All-Star Music Resort for arrivals beginning September 16, 2021, Disney's Port Orleans Resort Riverside for arrivals beginning October 14, 2021, Disney's Port Orleans Resort French Quarter for arrivals beginning October 28th, 2021, and Disney's All-Star Sports Resort for arrivals beginning December 9th, 2021. So yeah, now once that happens, all the resorts will have reopened.
It makes sense that All-Star Sports is last.
Why?
I don't know why, but it feels appropriate.
It should be last.
It's the least interesting of all the Disney resorts. It's
music, movies, and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I would say music and sports are the same.
Music's much better than sports.
Music is much better than sports.
In general, but also
not true. Not in general. There's some really bad music.
But there's some really good music.
There's also some really good sports.
Yeah, but it's all
the Olympics.
Well, speaking of Olympics, number three, new early park entry and extended evening hours coming to Walt Disney World guests.
How's that the Olympics?
Well, because you'll have stayed up all night watching the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well just stay up and go to the Magic Kingdom early.
Okay.
Sort of.
It got you there.
Yeah.
He's got me. I'm not going to argue with it.
It was a journey. In honor of Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, Disney has announced a new perk for guests staying on property. On October 1st, all guests staying at a Disney Resort hotel, as well as select hotels, those would be like the Disney Springs resorts,
mm-hmm.
Will be able to enter any of the four theme parks early. It's unclear how much earlier, but it's expected to be either 30 minutes or 1 hour prior to other guests. While shorter than the previous morning extra magic hours, it's also different in that it's every park every day instead of a select park on select days.
I like this because You don't have to be like, well, it's Tuesday, so I have to go to this park or that park or whatever.
I've never liked the different days, and it, especially now that you have to remember which park you were reserved to go to. You don't need one more thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, speaking of one more thing, another new perk has been announced for those staying at Disney Deluxe Resort Hotels and Disney Deluxe Resort Villas. These guests will also be able to enjoy extended evening hours on select nights in select parks. So they'll still be doing the some parks on some nights for this one. Guests using this perk may also use park hopping to experience the extended hours as long as they have entered the park in which their original pass was made. And it's expected this perk will be for 1 or 2 hours after closing, but as far as I know, it hasn't been officially announced how long it'll be.
That's cool, too. The evening extra magic hours. Always a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I like both, but I do prefer the evening extra magic hours.
Yeah. You can go back to the room and take a little nap. You don't have to get up at 2 a.m.
I'm not a huge fan. It's just deluxe only, but I mean, I get it.
No, I think it's fine. And like, if you think about it, all of the there's so many resorts now from when they started the extra magic hours that like, if you don't limit it somehow, then like, what's the point of the extra magic hours?
I agree.
Because most people do stay on property.
I will say the one that, like, when this news first came out, because I like that you said that it's an indeterminate amount of time so far for the early morning magic. The word was half hour, and then people were getting very upset, whereas the later one was an hour.
Yeah.
But there's still no exact determination for any of it. So let's all calm down, Internet. Let's just wait and see.
Yeah, it's also a bit different than before because now any resort guest can get extra hours every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deluxe resort guests can get up to two separate.
Yeah.
Because they can do morning and evening at the same park potentially. So, so that's a good perk for the deluxe people. Obviously, it would be nice if everyone got that, but I agree. Like,
Michael, they're not deluxe people. They're just deluxe, deluxe resort guests. Just because they pay more doesn't mean they're better. So in the morning, everybody's going to be racing to get to the parks.
Well, speaking of racing, number 4, Run Disney Races return to Walt Disney World this fall. And Disney has announced that Run Disney Races will return to Walt Disney World this fall, kicking off the Run Disney 2021 and 2022 race season. Due to ongoing changes to COVID-19 guidelines, race weekends may not include every element from previous years. Run Disney will continue to provide the latest updates to their participants leading up to our race weekend, so keep an eye at rundisney.com for all race details. And the season will include 4 events. You have the Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend powered by Aftershocks, November 4th through 7th, 2021. You have the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, January 5th through 9th, 2022. Disney Princess Half Marathon Weekend, February 24th to 27th, 2022, and the Run Disney Springtime Surprise Weekend presented by Otterbox from March 31st to April 3rd, 2022. And that would have been when the Star Wars Run Disney event happened before. So it's unclear what the theme will be. It'll be a surprise.
So I'm actually still a little surprised they're going to do Wine and Dine in person, that they could get it together that quickly.
Have they already done registration for it?
Yeah. 10K is full. I think everything else is still open last I looked.
Yeah.
So it's like the old days. But also, apparently, either there wasn't as much demand or they didn't really reduce the number of slots. There wasn't a lot of the hand-wringing, like, of trying to register. Like, apparently it wasn't bad this time.
Oh, good.
Now, people are still upset that there's no pass holder or DVC early registration. But I think people forget also that Joe off the street can't just be a pass holder anymore either.
Yeah.
Like, all of you guys are legacy people right now, at least for a little bit longer.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Now, the next piece of news I want to know is when they're going to bring back new pass holders.
I feel like something happened on the website where it's like, it could be coming soon.
I don't know.
I think you can read about them now or something.
My only other thing is why can't it just be Star Wars again? But we'll see. I'm leaving my options open.
Yeah, maybe now this year, it could be something different every year.
Yeah, it could, absolutely.
Maybe
it's
Marvel.
Or could alternate.
I'm still surprised though with how well Star Wars did and how much merch it sold though. So hey, but I don't see the numbers.
Also, there'll still be the virtual races and the kids races for all of these.
Yeah.
And number five, Disney and Pixar's Coco comes to Mickey's PhilharMagic. Or as Will would say, Donald's PhilharMagic.
Maybe they've changed it. Maybe it's more Mickey now. It's not.
No, it's probably the same.
It's just more Coco and...
Miguel?
Miguel, yeah.
But not much more, because that song is not a song.
It is a...
It's a ditty at best.
You like ditties.
I do like ditties, but it's not all a song.
Well, Disney has updated Mickey's PhilharMagic at the Magic Kingdom with a new segment from Disney Pixar's Coco. The musical number Un Poco Loco will anchor the new scene when it opens to guests at Disney California Adventure Park and Disneyland Paris on July 17th, before being added to the Magic Kingdom Park later this year during the Walt Disney World Resort 50th Anniversary Celebration. And Disney says, quote, "The film's fun, upbeat music and characters combined with the humor of Donald Duck marks the first time Disney and Pixar animators have worked on a creative endeavor where characters from both animation studios will be seen together on screen." I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah.
"Because music is such an integral part of the show, we were also fortunate to tap one of the film's original composers, the world-renowned Jermaine Franco, to produce a Coco score unique to Mickey's PhilharMagic," end quote.
You know what I
heard of Jermaine Franco? But I'm not world-renowned or world-traveled, I suppose.
You know what I hope they do? Since all the Disney characters are 3D, I hope they make Coco just animate, like 2D.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
There's some artwork, too. It looks like it'll be in the, I don't know what you call it, the dead realm.
Oh. Well, it's just the... Yeah, I
guess. The land of the dead.
The land of the dead, yeah.
That sounds way more palatable.
With that, like, flying rainbow
the
thing.
The dead realm. Yeesh, Michael. I mean, I know we did a hiatus, but good Lord.
Well, speaking of dead realm, that is it for news.
Stop saying dead realm. That was some good news, Michael, and I say that, but that was some really good news. Honestly, the fireworks is the best.
Yeah, and we'll have more news next week,
like what?
And the week after.
Well, we'll have news every week. Yeah. But like,
well, next week we'll talk about the Food and Wine Festival, which has already started.
Yeah,
time
looks hot.
Yeah, very hot.
So hot right now.
But cooling it down will be news about Christmas time at Walt Disney World.
Mm. Can't wait.
Today's topic is a TFP 300th episode small topic spectacular. A few weeks ago, we asked our listeners to send in some questions for our 300th episode small topic spectacular, and we got a great response. So we're going to jump in and answer some of them. We did some combining, but I think we got all of the attributions correct. But if we didn't get to your question or left you off the asker list, I apologize in advance. Brett, one of our Patreon saints, was the question submission MVP with approximately 30 questions.
That's a lot of questions.
That is a lot of questions. Brett, we couldn't include them all in the show because we want to make sure we have time for our very special guests that are still to join us later in the show.
Yeah.
But we will do all of your questions in a very special episode of TFP Extra featuring Brett's lightning round.
Excellent.
So, Patreon saints, tune in for that or sign up for Patreon and, you know, get you some. All right. So, broadly, questions fell into three categories. We have questions about the show, questions about Disney, and other questions.
Misk.
So here we go. I'm going to ask the questions about the show. So from Matt, Keith, and Brett, what is the origin story of the show? Whose idea was it? And how did you get started?
Are we going to do fictional answers and two of us will lie and one tells the truth on all these? That would be funny.
Yeah, we fell into a big vat of acid and came out more powerful than we could have possibly imagined.
Wow. That wasn't going to be my answer. In the dead realm?
In the dead realm.
Goodness.
The dead air realm. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it was before we had that conversation to start the show.
Yeah, so... the way I remember it is Will started listening to a podcast called The Weekly Planet and told me about it, and I really liked it. And I think at this point, this is when I had started listening to podcasts for the first time. And so I was looking for a Disney podcast, and the only ones I could find, or the main one that I could find, was the Diz, and it was a little too negative for me. And so I wanted a, I wanted to find a Disney-related podcast that didn't take itself too seriously, and I couldn't find one. So
there weren't that many back then.
Yeah. So I think we talked about it. Michael and I, you guys can't see my head nods, but yeah. I think Michael and I talked about it some, and Michael was a little hesitant about it at first.
Timid.
And then
timid.
And then
scaredy cat.
I thought we should get Will to do it too. So I remember calling Will and him saying, yeah, I've been thinking about doing it too. Maybe we should. And
no, let me be clear. Let me interject. Whenever anybody calls anybody, you worry someone's dead.
Yes,
first.
I made sure to let him know that nothing was wrong.
Yeah.
So I called Will and was like, hey, what do you think about doing this? And he was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe we can think about doing it. It was kind of that we were all kind of in the non-committally thing. So then I just went and bought some equipment and said, we're going to do it this week. And we recorded a terrible show.
Oh, no, no, no. You're leaving out a very important piece.
What?
We had a show meeting.
Yeah, roundtable discussion.
We got donuts. Yes. I forgot about that.
And we put them on a plate, which made it more classy.
It was a chilly January evening.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we had to come up with a name, and that was the first thing we did.
And I feel like you said something like, all right, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to sit down and have a meeting about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't just
it. Was a very serious. I forgot about the very serious meeting.
No, it's we sat on the couch, I believe, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there were donuts, and you had to have a real discussion about this because you can't just have a show without a name or what the show is going to be about. Because originally it was going to be like just adult stuff at Disney, like what we do as adults at Disney.
Yeah.
That was the original premise. And they're like, well, that's a little limiting. Like, how are we going to come up with something for that every week? It's like drink around the world then.
Yeah.
You know, right. You know, so because of the premise was, well, like the question's always, why do you go to Disney all the time? Well, let me count the ways. Let me tell you about it for an hour a week, 300 times.
Yep.
So that's how I remember it. And then we recorded a disastrous first episode.
So bad.
We did come up with some good alternative names, though.
Yes, and we're keeping one under wraps.
We've probably said it on the show.
When when one of us breaks off to do our own thing.
What, Carousel of Podcasts?
Dang. Cut that out, Michael.
That would be a good title if we spent every episode reviewing different Disney podcasts.
It doesn't matter because it's still a good title, what it is. It was funny, it was punny, and it's great.
I wish we still had the list.
Yeah, because the hard part wasn't just coming up with the name. You then had to make sure there was a domain and that there was like a Twitter handle available and stuff
and
like that.
And how you record things, except hit record on your iPhone.
Right. Yep. So yeah. And then our first episode that we actually have lost. Like, we're not just joking. We can't find the original.
And you wouldn't want to hear it.
No, we talked about bridges and causeways at Disney Springs. It wasn't Disney Springs then. Downtown Disney, because they were building that causeway. And we were like, what is the difference between a bridge and a causeway? And then we talked about it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, for a long time. And this was before we started editing too, really. So,
yes.
Yeah. All right. How has your inspiration for this show changed over the 300 episodes?
Purely money now.
So for me, when we started, I remember being pretty unhappy at work. And so I was like doing the Disney travel agent thing. And the idea was to nurture the podcast so we made money off of it, like serious money off of it. So that was sort of my ulterior motive for the show. But now, I think it was after like the second year or something, we kind of sat down and said, okay, like what's our goal here? Is our goal here to get a billion listeners and make $10 million? Or is it a fun thing, like a fun hobby for us to do? And I think we all landed on it's a fun hobby. So what I like most about the show now is it gives us, the three of us, a reason to hang out together every Friday night or every week and it's fun. I enjoy the Slack angle of it, the our listeners, and not feeling the pressure to, all right, this has to be successful so I can quit my terrible job and do this full time. Not having that pressure really helps a lot.
Yeah, at the beginning, I didn't want to do it. I was begrudgingly doing it.
Timid.
Yeah. Timid, yeah. Because I'm kind of shy and I don't know, the thought of putting my voice out there.
Yeah.
And just being able to speak off the cuff, which I still can't do.
And now you have to hear it three times.
Right. But now, especially after like the last couple years, you know, not only has it been fun all along to talk about Disney, because that's what we would do before we were actually recording, but like in the past couple of years where we haven't been able to go to Disney and the world's kind of changed, like having the podcast continue going, keeping Disney in the conversation, and it was like just another way to like kind of keep that quote unquote keep the magic alive. So that's kind of how it's changed now, and that's kind of what it is now, because we don't currently go as often as we did 2 years ago.
I don't know. I've been three times this year now to make up for lost time for just a couple.
Yeah.
Should have kept that annual pass.
Yeah, I know. Well, now it would have been way expired.
Yeah.
I could have renewed it. Still wouldn't have been a good idea monetarily, I think. I don't really have much more to add beyond that. I agree with all of that, except I didn't have a terrible job to like, try. It's more of the only thing I guess I would add is it's nice to have a hobby.
Yeah.
That's not expensive,
yeah,
or I get tired of easily because it's things I'm interested in every week, because Disney keeps buying things I'm interested in.
Yeah,
so I mean, we have a reason to watch you know, I have a reason to watch The Mandalorian at 7 o'clock in the morning before everybody else, like, oh well, this is my other job, and then like chat with people about it, you know. So I don't know. I think it's a fun hobby, and it has good perks otherwise. Like, gives you a reason to have other things to talk about and do and go to Disney for, which like we were going to do anyway. So
yeah,
might as well chat about it and meeting new people.
And it's constantly changing.
Because it's never finished. Or what does he say?
It's gonna change or whatever. So get over it, jerks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How is the show put together, and who does what? Editing, writing, research, show ideas, etc. This is from Austin and Tyler. The previous one about inspiration was from Keith. So, how is the show put together?
Well, Michael does all the work for editing. Let's just put that right on Front Street. And the show would not sound as good, be as good,
or probably
or be done every week.
Yeah,
like for we might still exist, but it would be real dumbed down. There would be, all right, here's the button for the intro, and then we're just going to talk, and when it's over there's like a minute or two of dead air. You hear us like putting crap up in the back.
Yep. I think our sound quality has always been pretty good, but if you go back and listen to some of the first episodes, that's when I was in charge of editing. And really, I remember one, I wasn't on it because I was in, I guess, California. Must have been. And so I was like, you guys finish it and then just send it to me and I'll edit it. And I got maybe 20 minutes in and was like, this sounds good, and just released it. So so Michael, I would say, is our executive producer. He does all of the production work and the editing. Make sure the sound quality is good. He literally, like, we do this for what, 2-3 hours on Friday night, and then almost every Sunday afternoon he spends probably another 5 or 6 hours trying to get the podcast edited and turned around so that it's available for Patreons on Monday morning.
And perfect.
It's more like
imperfect.
2 or 3 hours now. When I started, it was a lot longer, but
yeah,
it's a lot easier to do now.
But, you know, he listens to it. Will said he listens 3 times, but so he listens to it today while we're recording it. He listens to it while he's editing it, and then he does a full listen through to make sure that the sound is good at the end, because nobody likes a terribly terrible sounding podcast.
Or to make sure I didn't like mess up some of the like edits, because there have been times where I've listened to it and like the drop in will be just in the middle of where someone's talking because I accidentally dragged it across
message
the interface.
Typically.
And So it's good to check it. If there's not a lot of like editing or not a lot of stuff added to it, I typically don't listen to the entire thing again. I'll kind of just listen to the parts where I sense there could be a problem.
Yep.
As far as the other stuff, generally I would say the creative shows, your Armchair Imagineerings, your that Price is Right one that we did, the Choose Your Own Adventure, the 10 Questions movie shows, the more like sort of a little out there, a little whatever shows, I generally come up with those. Michael and Will do the ones about Disney history or about parks or attractions. They do most of the research for those. And then each of us does. So like I do the small topics every week. Will does the main tweet every week and Michael does the news every week. And then what else? From time to time, we will just do a brainstorm of show topic ideas.
Yeah, when we run out of stuff in the hat.
Yeah. Generally, so what happens is Michael goes, all right, this is what we have on the show calendar for the next 3 weeks or whatever. So then he'll say that, and maybe a few days, nobody acknowledges it. Maybe a few days later.
Hey, Michael.
A few days later, randomly at 10:30, inspiration will strike, and I'll just like start dumping stuff in the show topic ideas in the Slack.
And it's usually like, that one's good, that one's good. We could put those two together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Black Widow's next week, and then that the Disney Plus really has helped.
Yeah, there's a lot of anchors now with movies and TV shows where we kind of slot them in where they're appropriate. The summer's a little different because there's so much, we kind of have to spread it out.
Yeah.
But
Black Widow and Loki are both being pushed.
No, we already did those. Do you guys not remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's make the listeners think they're crazy for missing both of them.
We're going to start gaslighting this episode of TFP Extra. Or
TFP.
TFP.
Yeah.
The main show. All right. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Yep. That's it.
All righty.
See you real soon.
How long does it take to prep a show?
Well, it depends on the show. Like, you know, the 10 question shows, I don't know how long you spend on those, but that has to be some of the fastest for main topic. Like, right?
Maybe. Some of them take a little bit longer, but
I can tell you the longest ones have to be the ones where we all have to do an Imagineering thing or something, because it takes a while to think of all this stuff.
Yeah.
Put it down. And the attraction spotlight ones are not bad if we just find the right material quickly.
Right.
And the Disney Classics ones, Michael usually puts a lot of stuff together while he's watching the movie, or I'll do some if I have time at work the day before or after, you know? Just depends on the day.
Yeah.
And as how long it takes it. It's not, we're getting good at it.
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah.
I'd say there's probably what, 3 hours on average per show?
Yeah. I don't know.
Of prep
there
work.
Have been
combined.
Times.
Combined.
Yeah.
There have been times where it's Thursday morning and one of us will go, you know, hey, we haven't talked about anything to do tomorrow night. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll put something together.
Will, call out for a small topics episode. If you get if you guys ever see on Slack or Twitter or Reddit, where we're like, suddenly we're doing Would You Rather this week, so get your questions in by 2 hours from now.
Yep.
That's because we don't have a topic.
Though sometimes,
so next week, everybody.
Sometimes not having one and having to like come up with one in a small amount of time has given us some of our most like kind of unexpected episodes.
Yep,
like the one about presidents at Walt Disney World, like. Like oh, it's such
yeah.
like
mm-hmm.
a
yeah.
It happened to be around the inauguration, so like it was in the air, you know, presidents. But it was one of those things where we didn't have an episode, and you're just kind of wondering what to do. I think the Choose Your Own Adventure was like that too.
Yeah, and don't discount like last year we had to really scrape because we had no park stuff to talk about. Park's still closed. Yep. Just open. Well, we're not going. And it was, let's watch the black hole.
What's up with the black hole? Yeah, we haven't. I don't think we've done a what's up with this year, have we?
There's been so much new stuff to talk about. Like, yeah, those were oddly, you know, it again. It's like the Disney Classics episode. They're always better when the movies are worse.
Right.
Yeah. There's more to talk about. Honestly.
Yeah. Miracle was like, well, I mean, it's a good.
I
movie.
Enjoyed that. That was a good movie, guys.
It was hard to like.
Same thing with National Treasure. It's like, oh, I enjoy that. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, Black Hole, let's get into this. Like, I have questions.
Is that a country robot?
Is that a ghost? Or
see,
an angel?
We could do another hour about the Black Hole. And I am ready for a sequel or a spinoff or whatever. Let's do it.
All right. That was from Brett. Austin asks, what equipment and software do you use?
So we use a Focusrite Scarlett interface. Is that what it's called?
Audio interface.
Yeah, audio interface. So it has like 8 slots for microphones. We obviously use 3 of them most of the time. Software-wise, it's GarageBand on a Mac. So the interface just hooks up straight to the Mac with a USB cable. Then we have all our microphones hooked to the interface, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we're using like XLR stage microphones, not the like those Yeti USB things or anything like that.
Speak for yourself in 2020.
Well, when Will was recording from home, you have?
It was a Yeti.
Yeah.
I used the Yeti Caster bundle on Amazon that had a nice, and still, I like that that microphone stand better than these.
What software did you use when you're...
It was Audacity.
That's right. Yeah. So when Will was recording remotely, on our end, we would still record everything the same, but Will would also record his recording locally, and then he would send me a copy. So I would have like his basically over Zoom audio, but then he would send me like a clearer version of his audio.
Yeah.
You should have been there the night we were testing this.
Yeah. The hardest thing probably was figuring out a way to record remotely well, where like Michael and I could use these, get our audio to Will, get his audio to us, and then also have it go through and record. Like, that was tough.
Yeah, if we had always done it that way, we probably would have come up with like the way other people do it, which would have been the way we do the podcast. But because we're so used to doing it in one room, we kind of have that flow worked out. So trying to add this remote component on top of that without really changing what we're doing locally made it difficult for us because we don't really know what we're doing.
Yeah,
as far as this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and because we're all in the same room, that's why we're using XLR microphones and not USB microphones, because you can't put 3 different USB microphones into a computer that we know about. And if we were all recording on separate microphones into separate, like into our own computers, and then doing the audio together, then you would get sort of background noise. But with this, with the audio interface, it allows us to put everybody on their own channel. So if we're talking over one another or whatever, Michael can kind of move stuff around to an extent.
Yeah, there's a lot of times our conversations get edited in a way where stuff we said later in the show moves toward the beginning. So we try to keep that seamless, but it's interesting what you can do with when someone's talking and you want to kind of shorten what they're saying but keep the point. You can literally just cut where they breathe.
that's you can creepy. Every time you've said that, it creeps me out.
Or if they say something like, you know, that could be controversial or inappropriate, unintentionally or whatever, like it's easy to like kind of cut that stuff out since we're all on our own channel.
Yeah. All right. What was your favorite memory that involved a fan of the show? I asked because my wife was the person who recognized Will at Epcot during one of the Run Disney weekends, and I liked how excited he was when he talked about it. I encouraged her to ask if it was you.
Oh,
yeah.
That is
from Driftwood 14.
And I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but her name was Mallory. And that was my favorite because it was so ridiculous that this little dumb hobby, somebody recognized my voice.
Yeah.
In front of Tyler, so I could lord it over
him. Yeah, we kind of had a similar experience later where we were at Epcot, and I'm sorry, I don't remember this listener's name, but we just walked by someone, and then like a few seconds later,
I think it was the Andrews, wasn't it?
No, this was a different time, and he called our name, and like I turned around, and it was a fan that had, I don't know if he recognized us, like what we look like, or our voices or what, but it was just one of those like kind of unexpected like being noticed.
Surprised, yeah.
I mean, you know, when we go to the grocery store, guys, it's just, it gets crazy. Like, when masks really helped.
Well, interestingly, Michael and I did run into Nature Moment at the sushi place.
That's right.
One time.
That's right.
Like, he lives up here sort of near us. So that was fun. But my favorite one, I think, is just because it was our first, was when we went and did the meetup with Tyler. And I sort of, I feel like I forced that to happen.
You absolutely did.
Because you guys were both like, no, he's going to kill us or whatever.
Yeah.
Why would anybody listen? Well, first, he was our first fan who actually said anything. Yeah. Oh, my. Like, we knew that people were downloading the show.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We didn't know that any individuals. And then he tweeted us, there's a person. Yeah. he has a name.
That was the day we recorded our drunken Star Wars episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, because Tyler got us drunk.
Yep.
That was fun, though.
But it was fun. That's my favorite one because, like, it worked out really well. It was the first one. We hung out for the rest of the, like, we got along to the point where we were all like, all right, well, let's go take a lap around World Showcase and see what happens. And then Tyler has become our friend since then, which is cool. So,
Facebook friend.
Running buddy.
Running buddy. A casual acquaintance of the podcast.
All right. And the final question is, what is your favorite moment from the podcast? This is from Ben.
I don't know. That's a tough one. It does pin everything down to one. And because it kind of goes into the last one too, like, you know, being the interactions with the fans are always fun and meeting new people. But the moment, I don't know. I honestly don't have one. I think it's just, I love when we all go down there with a bunch of people, but it's like us too. And we can, like when we went with, here was a fun one. When we went with, our friends, the Robinsons, and took their twins,
mm-hmm.
and we're all doing the kid stuff all day. And then we went back out and built lightsabers one night and like, we have to get nerdy with this.
Yeah, we did.
So that was fun, but it's not really the podcast, but it was the three of us. So, you know,
yeah, I have like a love-hate moment from the podcast.
Okay, what's that?
It was our 100th episode. Was the fact that we got to 100 episodes. I just thought was amazing that we kept doing this for, I think that was like at 2 years we hit 100 episodes. But on the flip side, we made the poor decision to do a clip show. And so
the decision was valid.
It was a good idea.
The idea was good.
We just didn't really think about how much work would be involved going sifting through 100
for
episodes.
For Michael. Now, I did a lot of work listening to all the old shows to pick out time codes and everything.
Yeah, everyone did.
But
yeah,
it was
just a lot. It was a lot more than we bargained for. Yeah. So the 100th episode is kind of a good memory and a bad memory for me.
I think it was really good episode.
Quote unquote bad.
We should play it again.
Yeah, we've joked about doing a clip show again, but now we just have, you know, it's the kind of thing where we would have to be like keeping track of clips and stuff as we record them throughout the years and then go back to them.
No, the idea was to do a clip show again with fake clips.
Yes. One that stands out right now, I think, is the Price is Right episode. Like, that was a very high concept episode that required a lot of pre-work and a lot of planning, and it came off exactly how I wanted it to, like how I envisioned it, and I thought that was cool. So
yeah,
the presidential debate was also good.
Yeah, the debate was good. The first MCU bracket,
not the Avengers bracket, that was garbage.
What was that one? The
Shuri
best Avenger
won.
Yeah,
that was garbage. But the one we just did was the best because I won the best song or whatever. No, a lot of those are fun. Like, you know, it's fun when, and I'm sure people can tell when we're enjoying it more too. Like, you know, we just get going and then it's like, we should probably stop at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of, that's it for the questions about the show.
All right. Now we're at the questions about Disney. Number one comes from Kevin, the official baker of the podcast. Which attraction would be the best and worst if you were on it and pieces came to life like in Night at the Museum.
Also, let's give Kevin a shout out for sending us baked goods a couple of times. That was great.
That was a great fan interaction, too.
It sure was. I really enjoyed the cinnamon raisin bread, Kevin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For the record.
Keep on baking.
That's funny. I don't know why. Well, what does it mean, worst? Like
I don't know, like it would be terrible if they came alive.
Like, mine worst would be if there were actual pirates, and they're shooting. Like, there are bullets coming around.
Nah, man, dinosaurs.
Okay, no, never mind. Dinosaurs. Yeah, it's dinosaur, and there's no other answer, right?
Yeah, I don't
know. Well, Small World, all those little creepy kids.
They're just singing.
What if they're like Chucky kids, though?
Yeah.
But they're not.
You don't know.
I think legitimately the worst would be dinosaur, because that dinosaur almost eats you and is chasing you. And Rise of the Resistance, people shoot at you, too.
Yeah.
Like, that could, if that were real, that gets serious real quick.
Kyle's pissed off in that.
He is so mad. And we're just there, man. I didn't do anything. Like, you know, you get shot at, or the old great movie ride where they're shooting machine guns at you, and there are snakes and Indiana Jones. There's a lot going on in that.
Why did it have to be snakes?
He doesn't say it like that. Yeah, I think dinosaur is the answer for worst.
I think the best for me would be Navi River Journey.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Because it's so peaceful. Oh, I guess that could be worse, too, because those creatures could eat
you. Yeah.
But I think if you're nice to them or respect the planet or something, they won't eat you.
Yeah.
Look, I am a history
nerd.
They'll
eat Will.
So I think my best is Hall of Presidents. Like, I would just like to see all those guys together. And just watch. I want to stay and listen to what they're going to talk about after the show, guys. Hang on.
No, you should show them Hamilton and see what they think about it.
Yeah. That would be my vote for best.
This air in here, it feels conditioned. Mm-hmm. What is that?
And you're still going to have some of these old men presidents just mad about being there the whole time. And then the existential, didn't I die? You know, it's crazy.
Oh, there'll be a couple of, we don't say that anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and these were, you know, from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Not 1860s.
All right, we have another question from Kevin. If you could travel 50 years into the future, which single park in the world would you visit? I would visit the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I would visit the Magic Kingdom.
Like, I'll always say Epcot. I want to see if they actually are going to do any of the stuff that they say they're doing. Maybe Moana will be done by then. Maybe they'll turn on the water fountain.
What if they turn that spaceship Earth into like a time portal?
Oh.
Like a real one.
Actually, let me change my answer. Epcot is always going to be a little behind after a few years regardless. Hollywood Studios could be the new hotness at some point where they just start acting like Universal and tear stuff down and just build new stuff all the time. That might be interesting.
Yeah.
But Magic Kingdom is the answer. I just, you know. I think it'd be interesting to see the others, though, for sure.
Disneyland, too, would be interesting to see in 50 years.
Yeah.
What's changed.
I want to see how high some of the other motels are. I want them to all tower over Disneyland.
All right, and here's the last question from Kevin is, what's an animal you would like added to the Animal Kingdom Safari, and that animal then also gets added to a restaurant menu?
See, that's not nice. But the answer is dolphin.
Oh.
No.
I bet dolphin is delicious, and I'll fight anybody who says otherwise.
Yikes.
Well, what else are we supposed to say?
Will's getting canceled on the 300th
episode. I didn't come up
with
the question, man. Blame Kevin. But thank you for the bread, Kevin.
But you chose dolphin.
Well, what do you choose you want to eat? A cow?
A cow.
Oh, yeah. A cow would be good.
Or a chicken.
Oh, great. That'd be great to see going around Animal Kingdom to the safari.
Well, yeah. But if you have to pick one to eat.
It has to be. Well, see, I can't put dolphin because you can't put. We're not going to have any water stuff on the safari.
Sure you could.
Ooh, we could have the safari go into the water.
No, I don't want that.
You got that pelican lake.
No, well, then those are just for ducks.
Trips.
No, ducks. Add them officially to the safari, and now we got something, because I love a good duck.
That'll be good.
All right, Ashley asks, what's the one thing at Walt Disney World you would do if money was not an issue?
I'm sorry, it's easy this week.
Yeah.
I want that VIP tour.
I want the VIP tour. 100%.
I don't care if Rise of the Resistance is on it or not. Like, it'd be great if it was. I've always thought about trying to justify the price of the VIP tour. And had 2020 not happened, it might have happened with a coworker.
Yeah,
yeah. I was because it was in the news again this week, I re-ran the numbers and it's $3,500.
It's a lot.
So I jokingly said on the Slack that I'm going to start a GoFundMe to send the TFP bros to VIP tour, but I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to set up that tip jar.
It couldn't hurt.
Couldn't hurt.
It might take 28 years, but we'll spend it on that. I'll spend my portion on the Star Wars hotel first. I actually am more excited to do that. Well, I haven't seen it.
We can have two tip jars.
No, they're both going to be giant tip jars. I don't know where you're going to put these things.
If money wasn't an issue, I would just rent out all of Walt Disney World for me and my family and friends for like.
Well, see, that's just wasteful to do the whole thing. Well, for
no, those people still get paid.
Oh, that's not nice, though. We're all at Magic Kingdom, and those poor people at Animal Kingdom are just like. Are they going to come over here today?
All right,
you're renting out all four parks?
All four. Oh, yeah.
And the water parks?
Sure.
Yes. Oh, and the miniature golf?
Sure. Yeah, the whole resort.
The whole resort, everybody's
all
gone.
All 27,000 acres. I don't know, but money's no issue.
Billion a day? That'd get it done.
Yeah, it's like buying Lucasfilm money.
Yeah.
Space money.
Yeah.
That is space money. That's more than space money.
Sorry, Disney World's closed for 4 days.
Mouse out front should have told you. Whenever I do the, we're going to have a week off or we're changing something, I always want to start the tweet with, sorry, folks.
There's something up ahead that slowed down your vehicle or whatever. Alex, official Disney princess of the podcast, asks.
She's also British.
A British Disney princess. If you were to create a new Run Disney race, what IP would you theme it around?
I don't know. I guess we might find out in April. Surprise. But I don't know.
I'd go with an Incredibles theme. Dashes.
See, I think
race
they might
weekend.
Do. I think Pixar might be the answer.
Yeah.
That they may do in April. To try to get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, they should.
My answer is Marvel, so I think it lends itself to.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot there.
We don't really have a speedster, though.
Well, none of us are real fast either on those Disney races, let's be clear.
Well, to be fair, we haven't run in years, so maybe we are super fast now.
I did a virtual one 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I did. The official British Disney princess, Alex, saw it. Well, I don't know that she ever actually saw me run. She saw me come inside and put like Band-Aids all over my toe that had a horrible blister halfway through.
I've done two virtual ones since we've been recording this podcast.
Ah, yeah, good. Did you answer? I forget.
Oh, no, I was going to go with, I think Avatar, I don't know. Fly like an Ekron, I don't know. Something like that. Or a Banshee. I don't really have a good one, like, because nothing seems like an obvious choice to me.
Actually, my answer is like it is for everything. Do it parks related, attraction based.
Yeah.
That's why I did the virtual 5Ks last year, because it was Haunted Mansion and Space Mountain and forget what the other one was. And then it was the virtual, it was the ticket book, was the, if you did all three.
Oh, yeah.
They could do a Christmas one and call it 'Twas the Race Weekend Before Christmas.
Yeah.
It would be nice and cool.
Yeah. Good. Or hot.
I'd do that one.
You could do Zootopia. Mm. And
rabbits are fast.
Yeah. And the people that come up behind you to get the people out of line, that could be like the sloths or whatever.
Those tiger dancers.
All right. Josh asks, what's Will's favorite part of living with the land?
I mean, you know what I want to say.
The dog?
The end. The truth is, I mean, I for as much crap as I give it, like going through the greenhouse is mildly interesting. And that's a big gourd. That's a big tomato. I don't know. If it wasn't so hot in there, I'd enjoy it more, too. But that's the best part.
Why do they only have one shrimp in that?
Right? Sometimes, like, how do you leave one shrimp? Yeah. I have seen that, and so have y'all. It's weird. That whole ride is just weird. And I don't understand why you people beloved it. I really don't.
See, I like the first half, because it's like a dark ride.
But it's... It's like a ride out of time. Like, I appreciate classic dark rides, but it's like they opened up in 84 or 3 or whatever. Like, yep, good.
Yeah.
I like it because it's long, you could sit down, and it's cool.
Unless you go during the pandemic.
So go to Walmart and sit on a bench.
I'd rather sit at Epcot.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
You got some air moving. You're in the water.
And that middle part is weird with those video screens that have been like with the giant stages in front of them where nobody's there anymore. Like the whole thing is just weird. And then there's a dust bowl. Okay. All right. Let's go to the greenhouse.
All right. Ben asks, if you could live in one Disney resort, which one would it be and why?
So my original thought was the Contemporary for the view on the theme park side, but then I remembered the Poly and how awesome that was when we stayed there. So I'm going to go with the Poly.
Yeah, I was going to choose the Poly too, just because it's, you got the view of the Magic Kingdom, you have the grounds of the Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just has like a good vibe, like you're not in the middle of Florida.
Yeah, I like the music, like the ambient music.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Dull Whip.
Yep.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna
thin walls there.
I'm gonna cheat a little. The Treehouse Villas. You got a house on a river and a little bit away from everybody. It's like a little house.
Yeah. That's a gula.
I mean, and it's not like going to the campground where you have to, like, you know, go through two security gates and there's a billion of those cabins to try to find yours. But that's, I don't think that's in the spirit of the question. So mine would be the Riviera.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I want to stay there, and it seems nice. It also has nice views.
And transportation.
And transportation.
We stayed there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really nice. All right, Brett asks, if you could steal one ride system from any other park and move it to Walt Disney World, where would you put it and how would you theme it?
They're already doing it. Tron Coaster.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But what else would you do?
Yeah. I think... I would steal it. It doesn't say Disney park. So I would steal the, Harry Potter and Forbidden Journey, the arm thing. And I think there's a lot more they could do with that. Like the robot arm, you know,
yeah.
I think there's a lot Disney could do with it. And how would I theme it? I mean, I don't know. How about the Incredibles? I think that would like, honestly, like, I think there's a million things you could do with it. And I don't think Universal uses it quite effectively. I mean, it's fine. I don't love that ride, though. There's just a lot going on and nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a potential of being the greatest thing there ever was, but it just doesn't quite fit. Like, it doesn't get there is my point. And I think Disney could really do something with it.
I would steal the Pirates ride from Shanghai, Disneyland, the ride system, but then... retheme it to Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because it has kind of has similar things where you're under the water. You're
and
above
the lines
the water.
Would never be long because nobody ever watched it.
Yeah, that would be nice. It would bring a resurgence in popularity. Assuming it's good. I haven't seen it in a while.
Really? You talk it up
it was
all
good.
The time.
My memory of it
I
is really
I talk it down
good.
For no reason. So you talk it up for no reason. That's funny.
I don't know. I would go with a big roller coaster, like a Superman roller coaster from Six Flags. But make it maybe Iron Man.
Yep,
flying around.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's great. That's a good idea.
But coaster. Also, yeah. But then also have a lot of the like Hagrid's coaster stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's you know show scenes.
Like again, that Hagrid coaster, scenes. Anything I've seen is the most Disney of Disney roller coaster, which is funny. Not the Velocicoaster though. That thing's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm scared of that thing.
Yeah, the Hagrid coaster doesn't seem to make you want to vomit.
That seems nice. Yeah. That's fun. There's Hagrid. Woo! Three-headed dog.
All right. Brett also asked, best restaurant at Disney, and why is it Earl of Sandwich? And
that is not.
It is not. That is the worst restaurant.
That is not true.
The worst.
I would rather eat at Tony's Town
Square. You are a liar, sir.
Nope. I've never found anything I wanted at Earl of Sandwich.
They have a grilled cheese that ain't bad. I'll tell you that right now. I got the last time I went to Tony's Town Square, I got the appetizer. Oh, crap. Why is it the words aren't coming?
Calamari?
Nope. It was, you know, the cheese and the tomato and the basil.
Oh, the.
Yep.
Caprese.
Yes. I mean, it was the saddest little piece of thin mozzarella I've ever seen in my life. And like the biggest piece of basil I've ever seen. Oh, what is happening? And the tomato, I might as well put my napkin on there. It tasted the same.
Wow.
Anyway,
not a fan.
But let's talk about the best one, actually.
Best restaurant.
I go to Old Reliable. Ohana is my favorite. Like, I've never had a bad experience there. The food is not always the best thing in the world, but it's you can always find something.
Yeah, I was gravitating toward that one, but I'm actually going to pick Via Napoli.
Mm, fantastic.
Just because it's something different. I like the whole vibe. Obviously, the food, I really like the pizza and the salads, but yeah, the whole vibe in there, I just really like.
Yep. Then I will go with Be Our Guest. I like the Frenchness of it all. The gray stuff is, in fact, delicious.
He's right.
Mm-hmm. And the ambience is really nice, too.
Mm-hmm. And you get to have your picture taken with the beast afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, not right now, I guess, but, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Brett also asked, Disney World or Disneyland?
World.
World.
Yeah, that'll be World, but, like, I really want to go back to Disneyland.
I understand that, too. But it's World. It just is.
Yeah.
That's our part.
Yep.
Yeah. We do a podcast about
if
it.
If we were one of those Disneyland people, we'd be weirdos. Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, unless we live near Disneyland, then we would probably pick Disneyland.
We'd still be more obnoxious than we even realize at times. I'll tell you that.
Probably.
All right. This one, I'm not quite sure who submitted it, but it's, have you had any odd animal encounters at Disney?
What's the definition of odd?
I think I've been pooped on.
That would be odd.
That's odd. By what?
Elephant.
No, you haven't.
I don't know, a bird.
Really?
I think so.
Oh.
Have I been pooped on?
I think so. You've at least been thrown up on.
Well, yeah, and you've been peed on.
I'm going to use that one later as one of my memories.
Saw a lot of. It's not odd, but I talked about it. We saw a lot of animals playing golf with Donnie and Alex and Chris. Saw peacocks and a lot of deer. It was awesome. It was nice.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had any odd ones, or at least nothing's jumping out.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
Every time, that's scary, I'll tell you.
That's proprietary. All right. Matt, Ashley, and Brett all asked, do you remember your first trip, and what do you remember about it?
I do remember my first trip. It was with the band in high school. Somehow I got to go. I wasn't in the band, but I was friends with some people on the drum line. So somehow they got the teacher to let me go. And it was fun, and we played a show in one of the, like, I think on the hashtag Incredibles dance party stage area. And I had 3 cues on the slide whistle and missed all 3 of them.
I wish I had a sad slide whistle sound like a slide.
We played in an alley at Universal Studios somewhere. It was awful. And I don't think we played in the other band trip I went to. I don't remember my first trip. I was 2. I'm told I went.
Yeah.
There are pictures.
Yeah, I don't remember my first trip. I was quite young. And I have, like, vague memories of one of the times I went as a kid where I just remember, like, being in the queue for the Haunted Mansion. But I doubt it was the first time. So, yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, I was a late Disney bloomer.
It would have been in the 70s, the late 70s. That's
early 80s. Epcot was just new. I don't know if we went, though, with me when they took me the first time.
Yeah, I remember my first Epcot trip. All right, Brett and Matt also ask, what was your favorite and or most memorable Disney trip? Mine's going to be the second time we got married. On the People Mover. So we had our, like, official wedding.
It was because I was there? That's so nice.
You did witness it.
I did.
As the witness.
You said, can I get a witness? And I said, okay.
And Salty Myers performed the officiant, whatever it's called. Because we had our, like, an actual wedding in 2014. And then, like, right after we got married, Florida legalized same-sex marriage.
Legalize it, bro.
And so then that on our 1-year anniversary, Jason, I, Will, and Salty Myers went to the Magic Kingdom, like, on the day, and basically did another ceremony on the People Mover.
Because it broke down.
It didn't break, did it?
It did.
It did?
Yeah. No, that's not why we did it. We were always going to do it on there.
Well, it still broke down, and that's when we did it, when y'all did it. It was stopped.
Is that true?
I don't remember.
Huh? It was stopped.
I don't think so.
It stopped, like, right around the corner there so you could see the castle.
Oh, yeah. I remember it being there, so yeah. You're probably
She didn't just run through it right
That's a long run.
That was not that long. It's not as long as living with the land.
She didn't do a full Catholic mass.
Thank God you didn't make me. I wouldn't have signed the paper. You'd have had to get somebody else. Get that one shrimp to sign it.
But that whole trip I have fond memories of, and we had dinner that night at Be Our Guest. We met the Beast, and we all bought fun hats. And
Is that when we did fun hats?
Yeah.
I've done fun hats a few times.
Yeah.
Still have one of those tri-corner hats.
Yeah, that was a good one. The one for me was Michael and I, we took our first trip. I think I met his family for the first time on that trip, too. We went down to South Florida and did family visiting, and then on our way back, we stopped at Disney World for three-ish nights or four nights, something like that. We stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
At the time, I thought that was the longest trip ever. I was so excited. Yeah. Now it's too short.
Yeah, it was great. It was the first time I've stayed in a deluxe. I was there with my fella, my future husband, and it was just,
How about this? I will use this one. This answer will be when we took the Robinsons and the Twins. I will go for that one.
That is a good one.
We have a few similar questions coming up, so I'm going to have to come up with a few different ones. I will use that one for this one because it was nice seeing kids' first Disney trip, as always.
Yeah.
That was very memorable, and it was lovely, and it was classic, you know, it's what it's supposed to be.
Yep. All right, Matt asks, when did you realize you had a Disney Parks addiction, and have you had Disney droughts?
I had a huge drought, I'll say, because I went as a child up until every year until I was like six, and I complained to my parents like, oh, right when I start really remembering a lot of stuff, you stop taking it. And then I went like once as eight, and then not again, honestly, till like really two times in high school, and then a couple of times after that, and then when Jason and Salty Myers and I went like with there like 5 years after that, like went a few years in a row, and then it started becoming a thing. After that, like around 2008, 2009,
yeah.
Then it was like, oh, hey, Michael, you also cool. We're all gonna do this now. And then there was Stuart, and yeah, that was. And then we met, like, became better friends with Hawaii Chloe, and then it just became, oh, this is what we do now. Okay, but there were some droughts for sure. But I don't have an addiction. I can stop anytime. I canceled my annual pass.
I don't remember not having a Disney Parks addiction, honestly. I've just, as far back as I can remember, I've loved going. I've loved thinking about it. I've loved looking at books about it or pictures. The only drought I've had, it was 10 years, and it was the summer of 1999 was the last time I went. I had just graduated college, and I had been going for years at that point. And then I moved out of state, and I didn't go back until 2009. And that was the only time I've really had a drought.
Yeah, for me, my first trip I was 16, and then I went with the Myerses a few times after that, I think. And then in college, that's when Will and Carrie and I would go right after New Year's for a few years. And then I think I stopped for a while until I got work to pay for a trip to a convention that was in Orlando. It's called IAPA. It was my favorite convention. It's a tourism convention. And on that trip, there were like a couple of behind the scenes types of things that you could do. And so I registered for those and did those. And then I think after that, I started picking up more. And certainly after I met Michael, that's when really it, Disney became sort of the default vacation for me. So that was what, 2013, 12?
11 or 12.
Yeah. So that was that. As far as the addiction, I probably, of the three of us, care the least about Disney World or about Disney. So I don't.
But still pretty high.
It's pretty high, but if we never went back, I probably wouldn't die.
Well, okay.
Or I'll put it this way. If for the next 5 years we did all non-Disney vacations, I would enjoy that. Michael would hate that.
Michael, you can come with me.
Oh, thank you.
Especially when new stuff opens that I want to go ride. Yeah. Double occupancy at the Star Wars Galactic Star
Cruiser. Ah, nice.
No, I'm doing that one too.
Start that tip jar, man.
No, you're in your 5-year hiatus from Disney.
That's not Disney. That's space.
That is space. He's got you there. That is a space cruiser.
Unlike some people who just went to the edge of space, we'll be going to actual space.
As he said that, the thunder started rolling. So that was Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Richard Branson all ordering the thunder to come down.
All right, Tom asked, what is your most vivid Disney trip memory that brings back that Disney vacation feeling?
Vivid, you know, I don't know. I do understand what he means by that Disney vacation feeling, and I think that means to me, you're staying on the parks, you're doing the whole thing, you're eating everywhere there. We're not staying off property. You know, it's a lot of stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
And that gives me the those memories I started going. So my dad and I started going to spring training games. I don't remember the year. And then my mom got jealous because it was around her birthday, too. So we started making that an annual family trip. So, I mean, I got like 10, 15 years of that until last year when COVID happened to like cull from. And those always give me that feeling because I usually hadn't been since like at least even in the years where we go a lot. I would go. It's like a spring trip, a fall trip. And this is before the Run Disney stuff, and that was about it, you know. And that's a lot, even for most people. But it was hadn't been in like 6 months. Going to check in, like you're doing the whole Disney, like you're in, and the old man's paying for it, so we're staying at somewhere nice, you know. Not me, like when Jason and Carrie and I go, we're staying at the All Stars and trying to save money. And
not stuff. Anymore, we're not.
I understand that, but it was the same time ish, you know. So that's what gets me. You get that where we've got the dinners planned out, we got the days planned out. We're going to do this. We're doing this for somebody's birthday, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, mine's kind of similar. Growing up and until like after 2009 when I started going back to Disney, I had never really stayed at a Disney resort just because I lived close enough to Disney where you could go for the day. So it just wasn't like a thing that we did. So I remember the first time I stayed at a Disney resort, and it was a trip with Jason when we stayed at Pop Century. And I remember that it changed the whole experience for me, just being on property the whole time, not having to leave for anything, you know, unless you wanted to, obviously, but it just changed something in how the Disney trip works, and it's something that's kind of ingrained with me now, where my default is to want to stay at a Disney resort, even though when we don't, I still have, you know, an awesome time. But that was like I still remember that feeling of being, oh my gosh, I'm staying on property. It's so magical. They have those TVs that like have the
they Disney, have their own channels.
Yeah.
I have three. So the first one thing that really brings me back to a Disney trip is talking about the those channels that in the Disney resorts with the sort of instrumental Disney music over that, the like really stylized images of the parks, and then sort of like what's going on in the days. That music really makes me feel Disney-y, and I was able to, they released all that music in Japan, but not in the States at one point. So I was able to get all of those songs and put them on a playlist. So whenever I want to have a little bit of Disney magic at home, I play that playlist. So that's one. Two. All right. So I don't have three. I have two. The second one, and this might be the answer for my favorite trip, but this is the most, the one that I remember the most, and I don't have the best memory. So, but it was one of those trips to IAAPA, and I got Michael to go, and one day I was done early, and we're still dating at this point, right?
Yeah.
I got done early, decided to play. I don't work there anymore. I decided to play hooky.
You would never in a million years think about doing it now.
No. I decided to play hooky and get Michael to go with me to a Disney park because we had never been to a Disney park together at this point, and we both were Disney fans. So we went to the studios, And we picked the studios because that's when I found out that Michael had never seen Fantasmic. And so we went and saw Fantasmic, and it was amazing, like it always is. I remember that being like seeing that for the first time, and that's probably one of the first magical Disney Parks experiences, which is the next question. But I really wanted to share it with Michael because he had never seen it, and I felt like he would love it because it was so great. And he did. And then that was the night that on the tram I got vomited on by a kid in front of us. And because of that, I remember that trip more. And like, so it was kind of, you know, it was gross, but not what, like, it was fine. I mean, we've all been there, kid. Like, it's a big day. But just having that as like the punctuation mark on the end of that trip really makes it stick in my head as one of my most like memorable trips.
And then we went and had dinner at the Wilderness Lodge, that restaurant
where they throw ketchup at
you. Yeah, where
you.
They throw ketchup at you.
Oh yeah, because you were like, I love this place. It's the greatest place ever.
And Jason didn't like it.
I did not.
I still haven't been.
Just give me the ketchup.
I want to try it, but I will hate it.
Yeah, I remember it was, I think my memory of it was better than, or when I got older, it wasn't as fun or whatever. I don't remember, but it.
No, I did enjoy the 50s prime time where they yell at you, but they didn't yell at me, so it was fine. I ate my vegetables. I don't order things I don't like.
All right, the last question in my segment, and this is by Aura Sensor.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a Reddit handle.
Tell us about one of your first magical Disney Parks experiences. Mine is a continuation of that first time I stayed on property with Jason. It was also the first time I'd ever seen Wishes, because when I left Disney when I had been to Disney before, it was a different show. So I had no idea what Wishes was. And I just remember that show, and I remember us like watching it together. We did the dessert party, and like I never like done one of those before, and been at that vantage point, and I saw Tinkerbell fly right over me, and
she flies right over everybody,
right over. Crazy.
Yeah, so that's the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I'm gonna piggyback on that one. That dessert party where we watch Wishes, and they reserve tables for you, and our table was at the front, because I think because there were only two of us, so they put those at the edges of the thing, so it was at the very front. But yeah, I definitely remember that. That was a very magical experience. One that I saw that didn't involve me at all was I was in Tomorrowland, and there was this girl, maybe 5 years old, something like that, who had gotten lost, and you could see her, or she had gotten away from her parents. She wasn't lost. She had gotten away from her parents, and you could see her panic on her face, and she was about to break down, but she turned around, and her dad was standing there, like crouched down with his arms open, and he had big Mickey hands on, and she went like running over to him, and I just thought that was the most adorable.
They were filming then, right?
Yeah, okay. Most adorable, most like Disney commercial thing that could possibly happen, and I just thought, well, that's very magical. Good for her.
We just assumed it was her dad.
That's true.
No. Mine are not as adult wholesome. How about this? I remember meeting Dreamfinder when he had a Figment puppet.
Yeah.
And I remember Figment talking. Well, not talking, but like Dreamfinder. So as a kid, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
I do remember that. And there are pictures. And also the water fountains that went shot up. I remember those. That was magical to me as, you know, a six-year-old.
Still is.
It's still pretty good. And also the other one is when you could get a wake-up call from Mickey staying on the resort. So I was like, that's fantastic. That's dumb and an easy thing to do. And bravo.
Yep.
What time did he call you?
Whenever you wanted.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can get it for 2 p.m. if you want.
Yeah.
It's like, don't call me early, Mickey.
Yeah, you never heard it?
I don't think so.
It was adorable.
There's big doings afoot.
Yeah.
Did he say your name? Like, is it customized? No.
But it had Goofy in me. It was the Fab Five on there.
Yeah.
You know who didn't say anything?
Daisy.
Pluto, because he doesn't talk. Oh. Jeez, Michael. All right, I get MISC.
MISC.
Other questions. Brett asks, what do we do for work? Context clues. I am a quasi-government employee for the state of Georgia doing quality control.
Yeah, he's a government employee when it suits his argument and when it doesn't suit his argument.
I currently do not work for the government because I am not advertising that. It's state government anyway. Let's be clear.
I am a software engineer.
I am also a software engineer.
Okay. Now, here's the hardest question of all of it, and I'm sorry, I don't have great answers for all these, so I hope you, since you love music so much, that you say, Michael.
I've never thought about the way this question
presents. Gotta do it now. from Tyler, create the soundtrack of your life. You'll need a song for each of the following occasions. So let's start with Get Hyped / Training. Now, yours are going to change a lot as the whatever day suits you, I imagine, Jason, right?
Well, okay. So let's go through the categories here. Get hype / training, zaniness, romance, sadness, and perseverance. I tweaked the categories a little bit.
You didn't have to say it. Tyler will write in. You're right.
Yeah. So for get hype right now, it's a Todrick Hall song. Ooh, or a Lizzo song. It would be a Todrick Hall song called Wrong Bitch. I love it. It's a great song. It's gotten to the point, I think, where I've listened to it enough where I'm done with it, but it's a great song. So that would be my get hype.
Mine would be something off whatever my running playlist is. You know, I just have a lot of those type songs. It's rare that I actually have like anything that's slow or anything on there except music score. So there are times where get hype / training does involve a movie score. And the last one I actually was listening to was the final track of Force Awakens, the Jedi Step / finale.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's good to walk to, actually. And I'll call that training. I don't really have a get hype song. I know you're going to be surprised.
Get hype.
I don't get hype too much. Except with the Georgia Tech fight song. Am I right, guys? What's up?
I guess right now my get hype / training song would be Save Your Tears by The Weeknd.
Nice.
I really like it.
Oh, and we're all looking at our phones now.
Yeah, I have to look
Apple
at the music.
Yeah,
we are.
Another like one that's more recent too is probably one of the songs from In the Heights. There's a few of those that are very like high energy and get you excited.
Yeah. I also like Good as Hell from Lizzo. That's a good get hype.
Well, let's move on to zaniness then.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it. Give me a second. It came out at Christmas. What was the I want a something. Puppy for Hanukkah. That was the zaniest song I've heard in a long time.
That.
That's what I'm going with.
I'm going to go with like any of the 80s Epcot songs. I just love them so much, but I know they're not really good songs, but they're pretty zany. If I put that on for someone that didn't know it was an Epcot song, that would be the weirdest thing.
It is weird.
What's the song about energy that you're listening to?
Zaniness should be right up your alley, Jason.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I guess it would have to be a Buffett song. Maybe a Margaritaville or a Cheeseburger in Paradise, a very basic Buffett song. Coconut Telegraph. Yeah, I would have to go with something in the Buffett bucket.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Romance. What's love got to do with it? Am I right, guys?
That's sad.
I don't know.
Or no, that's not sad.
Perseverance.
That makes perseverance. That's mine for perseverance.
Actually, that's kind of just like...
Yeah, it's fine.
Let's just do it. I don't... We don't even need to know each other's names. That's what that song's about.
So that's a get hype training song?
Yeah, it's a different kind of hype.
I'm going to go with Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm. That's You're the Man right
that's
there.
That's a good one.
Or The Wonder of You. Which might also be
that
Elvis?
Is also Elvis. Oh, yeah. He did sing that.
Yeah.
As did others.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with the more recent version. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those two right are the first ones that come to mind, at least.
For me, I have two songs that always make me think of Michael and Smile. And they are I Don't Care from Ed Sheeran and Helpless from that show about Hamilton. Hamilton. Yeah, those are my two sort of romance-y songs, I think.
All right, sadness.
For sadness, the one that sort of comes to mind is I Don't Want to Fight from Tina Turner. But also the that Pink song that give me just a reason, just a little bits enough.
Yeah.
That one is a very sad song to me.
Okay. Michael, you have one?
I do not. Nothing's coming to mind. Like the first thing I thought of in is that movie, Call Me By Your Name, like the whole, there's a song of the end credits where the main character is just staring into the fire crying, and there's a song that's playing, and it's it's a really good song, but I don't remember what the lyrics are. I just think of sadness because of that moment in the movie.
Because I just watched it again last night, that version of Smells Like Teen Spirit from Black Widow, I don't know if it's real sad, but it's creepy and eerie and sad enough for what those poor girls were going through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some other ones for me.
Oh, good. More sadness.
Dancing on My Own from Robin.
Okay.
It's a sad song.
Sure.
And then Chandelier from Sia is also, I think I like a sad song that sounds like it's not a sad song, but it is, like when you listen to the lyrics, it's a very sad song.
Okay. And finally, Perseverance. It's I'm a Survivor from Destiny's Child. I don't know that there could be anything else.
Yeah, that's mine. Every time I've gone through stuff, Destiny's Child Survivor is on my playlist. And when I told my mom that, she was like, the old Survivor song, or I Will Survive, was Perseverance song. And I thought that was a cool parallel.
Mine would be Go the Distance from Hercules.
You hated it.
I didn't hate it.
You said it was garbage.
I literally said
the movie was garbage. On our scale. Okay. Brett and Ashley asked, what are your favorite summer and winter Olympic sports, and how many gold medals will the U.S. win in Tokyo? Well, apparently not all of them, because we didn't qualify for 3-on-3 men's basketball.
Which is crazy.
And that upsets me.
Going back to Perseverance, I was laid off and down about that, I made a whole playlist that was just Broadway songs of like I Want songs or Overcoming songs. And it was a good playlist. I still listen to it a lot now.
All right. Favorite summer Olympic sports?
Favorite summer Olympic sports, gymnastics.
Michael?
Mine would also be gymnastics.
Diving.
Oh, diving's really
good. I love the high
dive. I love diving.
And the synchronized diving.
I'm really excited about surfing and 3-on-3 basketball.
I always like the new stuff.
Yeah.
Surfing, I'm not super excited about, but it'll be fine.
Yeah. And beach volleyball. Because, they're nice to look at, one. And two, we all, I feel like it was, three Olympics ago where it was the only thing on most of the time.
There's always
and
that
we
one
all
thing.
Learned everything there was to learn about beach volleyball, and it was great.
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly. How about winter, since it is the superior Olympics? Mine is bobsled and luge and skeleton and anything down that ice slide.
Yeah,
mine's ice skating.
I think mine's gonna be luge or bobsledding.
It just seems so dangerous.
Same thing.
Like, it's so fast.
Just so fast, so dangerous.
Out of control.
And how many medals?
Although curling is fun because it's aspirational. Do that.
No, I'm done with curling forever. I watched so much of it last time that I never want to see it again. But I will watch a lot of it next year, no doubt.
I think the last Summer Olympics, I watched the whole bike marathon.
Really?
Yeah. It was crazy.
I always end up watching something. Last time I even watched some of Olympic golf. I'm like, all right, well, they're competing for medals. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was a Georgia Tech guy who did really well. So,
oh, nice.
Shout out to Matt Kuchar.
Kuch.
All right. Brett and Ashley also asked, where would you live if you could live anywhere in the world and anywhere in the United States? Anywhere in the United States, it's the good old ATL, brother, every time. But not really. San Francisco, I think, would be. I've never even been there, but I imagine it's glorious.
It is glorious. It's expensive. And they don't have air conditioning everywhere, so you got to watch out for that.
I would.
Yeah, though, absolutely.
LA, so, Or L.A. I mean, honestly, the weather's so nice there all the time.
It's too big. It's too much.
The Hollywood Hills would be fine.
Probably the mountains of North Carolina or something.
Okay.
I don't know. In Asheville?
Yeah, like...
Too many IPAs. That's the only problem with Asheville.
I want to be close to civilization.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I want to be able to drive to Disney without it taking a week.
Yeah. I would go, like, a North Carolina or Virginia beach town.
Yeah, I've never been anywhere.
I've been to North Carolina, like Ocean Isle.
Yeah.
But somewhere that is... A little further north, so it's a little cooler,
yeah,
and less humid, is where I would go.
We just need to put you in a bubble, though. That's
yeah. Or I would absolutely go to. I would live in San Jose, San Francisco, the Bay Area. It was really nice. I loved it.
And in the world, I would go to New Zealand.
I would go to Vancouver.
I would go to either Ireland or France, or Vancouver or Canada. Yeah. So any of those will be fine.
Vancouver's just so pretty.
Yeah, it really
and cool.
You leave your options open. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom asked, if we were trapped on a desert island and could only have one album, what would it be? It's Elvis Aloha from Hawaii. That's all you need. I don't know why you would even need anything else. I could bring as many as I want, but I would just bring that one if I could only bring one actual album.
That's hard.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. If it was like a rock album, it would probably be Rumors from Fleetwood Mac. If it was a greatest hits, I would go with probably a Janet Jackson, but it would most likely be a theater cast recording. And I don't know which one it would be.
Mine would either be the concept album of Jekyll and Hyde musical, or the sixth album compilation of the score for Lost, because I'd be on an island, so then I could play a different track. Like when I'm running through the woods, I can play like the running theme.
That is the worst answer of the whole night.
Or the best answer.
That's an amazing
score. Well, you can't
score.
Have six albums. First of all, that's cheating.
I'm going to assume that whatever media it's on, it's just one album at that point.
Right. Just 80,000 songs. Yeah. Okay, if you were trapped on a desert, and Tom asked this, if you were trapped on a desert island but could only have one dessert, what would it be?
Oh, it was actually, if you were trapped on a desert island and could only have one dessert.
Oh, I assumed it was the parallel. Misspelled.
No. Nope, it was
I wouldn't
not.
Go to a desert island because give me a headache, it seems like. Too sweet.
That Willy Wonka island.
I don't want to go. It's like walking into like a... like a candy shop and staying for more than like 20 minutes. Like that's enough. Like I'm going to get diabetes from just standing here.
A candy shop where somebody is bathed in the M&Ms naked.
Okay. Yeah.
I would go with ice cream, like actual ice cream, because there would have to be some way to keep it cold. And so then I'd have a cooling source on the island.
Hmm. All right.
You know.
I'm going with an Oreo Blizzard because I like them.
I would go with a cheesecake, probably.
All right.
But really, I'd probably go with a bag of Mike and Ike's.
Well, there you go. That works, too.
Or a pecan, not a pecan sandy, a Nutter Butter.
Or yellow cake with chocolate icing.
Yeah.
There are many options. Okay, Tom asked us, what podcast are we listening to at the moment? Well... the Florida Project. I've been listening to it for like the last hour and a half. Conan, I'm still rocking. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan, which is the second weekly podcast, which he just interviews fans for like a half hour. And it's been oddly really satisfying. And those people are just fun. Like they find fun people to talk to and listen to. And Conan's, that's still my favorite podcast.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm listening to Gates McFadden Investigates. In Bed with Nick and Megan. It's Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman. It's basically kind of like the Conan show where they're just talking to different guests.
Yep.
Also, a play on nerds. It's like a general nerdy podcast. They do that. I think I mentioned it before. They have a series of episodes. It's one episode of The Muppets and one episode of Star Trek per episode of the podcast. So it's a very interesting combination.
Yeah. Trying to get each other into the things that they like.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then a bunch of Star Trek and Disney
podcasts. Yeah, I got a lot of wrestling podcasts and other Talking Sopranos I listen to, but I don't love. But I'm just in it now.
So mine, I have stuck with the Weekly Planet since I started listening to it.
And it helped us create this podcast, and I quit it.
Yep. That's probably that is definitely my longest running one. So Weekly Planet and Do Go On. Darkneck Diaries, I was turned onto this in a coding boot camp. The instructor had just started listening to it. It's mainly about security and hackers and stuff like that, but it's a very good podcast where they interview those types of folks. Conan O'Brien, Keep It, Love It or Leave It, and then The Bald and the Beautiful with Trixie Mattel and Katya Zamo, and Sibling Rivalry, which are both drag queen ones.
All right. Kate says, help me convince my husband that a stop in Atlanta is worth adding an extra day to our Disney trip. Well, one is, are you flying or driving? Because
I think they're driving.
Okay. So then that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Come on by Truist Park, go to a Braves game, and I'll come meet you and we'll have a drink.
Well, if that's not it, yeah, you know what? If you come through Atlanta, this really hinges on the husband being a fan of the show.
Nope.
But if you come through Atlanta, then let us know when you're coming and we will go meet you for a drink at the Battery.
Mm-hmm.
At least Will and I will.
Michael will come too.
Michael will be there too.
I'm timid.
He's timid. I don't want that to be a thing. That's funny. What else? I don't know. It depends on what time of year it is, honestly, too.
Well, she said she wants to go to the aquarium, which is fine.
I haven't been there in 15 years. It might be worth another trip.
Yeah, it's great.
It might be.
They got sea otters and dolphins. Mm-hmm.
Sharks?
We got sea otters.
Not as many.
Sea otters and dolphins and sharks at home.
You do not. The basement is not that damp.
What else? You can go to the Carter Library, which I've been to a good number of presidential libraries, and it is my favorite of all of them. It is actually my favorite attraction in Atlanta, and I used to work in the attractions industry. So I've seen them all.
College Football Hall of Fame.
It's pretty cool.
It's a great venue.
They have good.
We have a lot of technology. Really good restaurants that are back open now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good food down here.
Yeah.
It's hot right now, though, so don't sit outside.
Yeah. Southern food. Good Southern food.
Yeah.
Come over to our house. I'll make you some fried chicken.
Michael's timid.
Michael might be at Will's house.
Yeah. We'll go to the Battery.
Will will be here.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, the aquarium is the aquarium, but try to get away from just the super touristy stuff. I mean.
Hey, man, the super touristy stuff is fun.
It was. We're too old for that stuff now.
No, you're not.
I don't want to go to the Cyclorama.
Well, I don't want to go to
the Zoo Atlanta.
The zoo's nice.
They've moved the Cyclorama to the Atlanta History Museum.
Now, I love the Atlanta History Center.
Yeah.
But it is so nerdy. It is dry.
There's a great, or there was, I don't know if it's still there, Olympics exhibit from the
96
Olympics.
I don't think it's there anymore.
Great Civil War exhibit.
They did have the Olympic exhibit. I stood on the podium.
Yeah, me too.
It was nice. I put my hand over my heart. It was a whole thing. If I find that picture, I'll post it somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, come by. We'll hang out. It'll be fun. Michael may or may not be there.
I would use the extra day and tag it on to your Disney trip, if you can.
Mm. I mean, yeah, probably. I would, too.
I mean, Atlanta's great.
We can come meet you there. All right, Brett asks, what is your favorite non-Disney vacation? I'm going to go when we went to Hawaii a few years ago. That was really fun and relaxing. I enjoyed the crap out of that. Because we didn't, well, except that day we did everything. We didn't do much, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I found the secret jacuzzi like in the bushes that overlook the ocean. No one else knew about it. So it was like I had my own private jacuzzi with a view of the Pacific Ocean.
Michael and I swam in a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold.
It was very cold.
That day, everybody else went out and did something. I just laid out on the lanai and just, I was reading for a while. I took a nap and I could feel the tropical breezes. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of lost sites.
Yep.
Other than that, I like 2 to 3 days in the mountains. And then we went on our Alaska cruise. That was a Disney cruise, but
yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Like technically, it's Disney, but it's not a park.
Yeah. And then Ireland. The only thing that would have made Ireland better is it was, Michael and I had just started dating at the point at that point, and we went to Ireland for my 30th birthday. It was, if it had been, 2 months later, or even when we went, if I had asked at that time, it would have been fine, but we're close enough where it would have been creepy to to be like, hey, do you want to travel international with me? So we met in, August?
Yeah.
And that was December, so a little soon. But that was a fantastic trip. I love that.
All right, Ben S., where would you go if the three of you were taking a non-Disney vacation together anywhere in the world? I don't think we've discussed this ever.
Actually. I guess Hawaii.
No, you got to go somewhere new.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to go to the Caymans for your birthday.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these things happen. But it was just the three of us. Remember, this is different. There were going to be more people there.
Oh, just the three. Okay.
So it would be something that everybody would need to enjoy.
What about an England trip?
See, I was going to throw out something in Europe for sure.
Yeah, like a British Isles trip.
Are we allowed to stop at Disneyland Paris?
No.
Oh, we're so close, though.
But we can't. Can't do it. They're closed that day.
That's a second vacation.
It's just the three of us, a non-Disney vacation.
So what I want to do...
We can talk about it.
What I want to do... The next big trip that we take, I want to do a London-Paris trip and ride that Channel.
Ride the Channel.
Yep.
Yeah. But then he's right. If you're that close, you got to go to Disneyland Paris.
Well, that would be the next vacation.
So they can't count for this one.
So we'll just leave from that vacation to the next one.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, are you okay with that, Michael?
Yeah.
You concur?
Yeah, okay. I would love to do that.
All right.
And finally, Ben, asked, how often do you hang out outside the podcast? Not enough. Well, thank you.
That's nice. I appreciate that. I thought you were going to say something like, I don't know these people outside of the podcast.
No, I mean, I don't have your phone numbers. You don't have my phone
number. You don't have your phone number. You have ours.
Yeah. I'll let you know when I want to hang out.
I have your digits.
We probably...
I mean, we just went on vacation together.
Yeah. And then we're like...
Are we allowed to say that? I don't know.
We hang out outside of the podcast. We all went on vacation the same week. I think they might have clued in, Michael.
Will's coming over on Sunday. We're having a pool day. Like, we're like friends.
I would say it averages 1.8 times a week.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
More than once, sometimes just once, but at least once, and, you know, try to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Summer is more than winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the final question.
Thanks, listeners.
All right. I'm just doing a quick time check here, and it looks like we're out of time and not going to be able to get to our special guests. Big apologies to Henrietta Hummingbird and Steve the Steed. Check out their new book, On a Wing and a Mare, at a feed store near you.
I don't miss seeing her. I'll tell you that right now.
We'll skip the plugs for this week. That's all we got. Anything else?
Happy 300. Thanks, listeners.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a fun 300 episodes. Or 600 if you're a Patreon.
And now we rank our definitive 300 best episodes. Number 300, Star Wars Drunk Weekend.
I gotta go.
Number 1, Anything But That.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon. I knew it. I knew they would bump us just to ruffle my feathers. That's the last time they'll see my pretty beak around here.
I know. We've been practicing that great bit, too.
Yeah, 100 years ago, everybody had horses and only the rich had cars. Today, everyone has a car and only the rich have horses.
My, how the stables have turned.
That was a good one. Let's try another. Hey, Steve, I think I'm going to start calling you Mayo.
Why would you call me Mayo? I'm not even white.
Because mayonnaise. Bye, y'all.
All right, Alice. All right, Alex, official Disney princess of the podcast. No.
Yeah.
Alex, official British princess. Is it British?
British Disney princess.
Alex.
You know Alex.
You know her. Every time we ask, every time Michael asks, did you say spectacular? I want to say, Michael, can you hear me?
Michael, check your battery.
Huh. These people were right, huh? Man. Well, I guess we should have torn this script up and just done a new one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's definitely going at the end.
Yeah.
I always thought podcasting was a more visual medium than people give it credit for anyway.
I always thought you were an idiot.
Hocus pocus.
Where'd Michael go?
If you would like to join a jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory.
Hurry back. Hurry back.